Okay, welcome to the Flower Power Podcast. I'm so excited today because not only do I have a micro flower farmer, so we have a million things in common because we love flowers and love growing. She also is a podcaster, just like myself, about twice as long. She's done it for about twice as long. She's twice as many episodes in. But I'm so excited to introduce everyone to Missy Rolfe from Honeybee Flower Boutique in Missouri, where I was born.
Oh, that, yeah, I forgot about that. You were born here. What a small world.
So some of my relatives might be able to come out to your land and or one of your workshops or something.
They could come visit our flower truck too. That'd be awesome. I'd love that.
And
We're about 30 minutes outside west of St. Louis. So I usually am in the Eureka Wildwood kind of area, but we do pop-ups in different places, but we're typically kind of out in this area.
okay. So tell us a little bit, since we're talking about your flower truck, and her name is Rosalie, and it's a beautiful color. Tell us about Rosalie and where you've been with Rosalie and the different places you've taken your flower truck.
So Rosalie actually came with the name when we found her. She had that name, so we kept it because it seemed pretty perfect. So she's a 1967 Ford, turquoise and white, which is like my favorite color combo. And so the flowers really pop when we have a flower truck pop up or something. But gosh, we have had her. We are at our local farmers market a lot. We do pop-ups at local boutiques and things like that. We've done lots of private events, birthday parties, bridal showers, things like that. We do a lot of photo shoots with her. We have photographers that rent the truck for their photo minis, and I also offer to style the truck for them if they'd like for me to, and most of them take me up on it, and that's a lot of fun for me too. I'm an empty nester, and I joke around with my kids and say, now that you're grown, I dress up Rosalie. She's my baby. So we have a lot of fun with her.
Oh, and she came that color. You didn't have to do much.
We didn't have to do much work. I mean, it was really a blessing to find her in the condition she was in. And she is an automatic, which is great because I've never learned to drive a stick. So that was kind of a requirement too.
Well, since I started listening to your podcast, so I have a floral company, but I don't have a flower truck. And I don't have much of a garden. I'm just sort of a beginning gardener. But I do drive by this one house in my town with a Chevy, looks like a Chevy. I don't know anything about cars, but it looks like perfect future flower truck.
Oh, hey.
One day I'm going to stop Missy. I'm going to say, that car is never anywhere. I've never seen it in town. Can I have it? Can you sell it to me? I'm going to have one.
Do it. Yes, keep your eye on it. And you know what? I've interviewed some people that was kind of their story. They kept seeing this truck and finally approached the person, and they were like, and at first they said, no, we don't want to sell it, but then they circled back around several months later and they did sell it to them. So you never know, that could happen.
So you bought the truck and it's an automatic, so you can drive it. Where did you get it?
Actually, she was down in Gainesville, Florida. So I'd started my business like a lot of people in 2020 during the pandemic when I worked full time, but I was home working from home. And I had always been a gardener, but started growing more cut flowers, started doing mason jar arrangements to just leave on people's porches when we couldn't really see each other. And I kind of did a lot of that to begin with. And then I was like, you know, what if we could add a flower truck to the business and, you know, take the flowers to the people? That was kind of my thought. And I literally Googled what my dream truck would be, and I put in 1967 Ford turquoise automatic. I wanted a 67 because that's the year I was born, and I thought it'd be fun for my business partner to be the same age as me. And Rosalie came up, and then I connected with the owners. They were in Gainesville, Florida, and then it just kind of went from there. And we had to have her trans we had to have the truck transported. I was ready to fly down there because it was like February, and I was ready to get out of the cold and go get her and drive her back. But my son, who's a car expert, said, Mom, you can't do that. We're gonna have to have her transported. So she arrived really on an 18-wheeler with a bunch of other cars. The guy could not drive into our neighborhood with his truck, so we had to meet him in a local parking lot.
How many people were there when you first met her, or did you have like a our truck is here, some kind of celebration when she came?
I didn't that night, so it was just me and my husband that met the driver and the parking lot to get the truck. And we took some video, you know, of us first getting in and me driving it around a little bit in the parking lot. But I had been hinting on my social media that we had something big coming, but I didn't unveil it until a little bit later. And I introduced kind of my new business partner and I had my friend shoot a video. And then you pan over and it's Rosalie. People were expecting it to be a person, but it was the truck. But we definitely captured video of that night. And then I've shared that since. So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So, can you tell me a little bit about when you started gardening? Were you in your 20s, 30s? And just also, what do you love about gardening?
So I have really gardened pretty much my whole life. My grandma lived kind of out in the country. They had some acreage, and anytime we'd go over to visit, my favorite childhood memories really of visiting her, or some of my favorite are wandering around her yard, and she and my mom would be looking at her flowers, and you know, here's this and here's this. And so I just kind of followed them around and learned a lot that way. And then I remember after my husband and I got married and had our first house, I was like, I can plant my own flowers now. And I got a lot of starts from my grandma of different things. And really, it's just always been in my blood. And one thing that she always grew was zinnias. And I know some people say zinnias, but we call them zinnias. And when she turned 90, we had a party for her and we gave everyone seeds from her zinnia garden so they could start their own. So then fast forward again, like, you know, during the pandemic when I was home and had a little more time, I had kind of had the idea to start my business. And then when I was making dinner one night, I feel like God just downloaded this children's story into my brain and I had to stop. I wrote it down and it was called Lena's Zinnias. So I wrote a children's book in honor of memory of my grandma because really she started my love for flowers. My mom carried it on. It's just something we've always enjoyed. And so during that time was when I really got into cut flower gardening, which, as you know, is a little different than just your landscape gardening, or if you're going to fill your flower pots on your porch, it's a little bit different. And so I just started educating myself, listening to podcasts, looking things up. And I ended up taking Lisa Mason Ziegler's flower farming course and just was like all in. Like, I love it. I love everything about it.
I love when I hear somebody else took the same course as me. I haven't finished it. I'm at some point now. I've signed up for so many courses like botanical, everything. But so it's funny, Missy and I met and connected when we were taking a podcasting boot camp, which for me, it just came up on Facebook. I had met some older man who had the most amazing sunflowers around his house, and I thought, I need to start a podcast just so I can interview local people with amazing gardens. Then I heard about her Flower Truck Friends podcast. So I knew that we had to be on each other's podcast at some point.
Yes, I love it. I love making those kinds of connections.
So fun. So you said you love zinnias. Would you say that that's the easiest flower to grow? I've heard it's one of the easier flowers to grow in Cosmos. Also, fertilizer, they can kind of do their own thing in an abandoned parking lot. Someone said you can just grow cosmos. What would you say, like, the easiest versus the hardest flowers to grow?
Well, you know, zinnias are very easy. And I tell people if you want to start with something and you want something that's going to produce all summer long, definitely do zinnias. The people that say, well, they, you know, it didn't work for me, I find that the one mistake I think some people make is they bury them too deep, the seeds. You really like, I really just barely scrape the surface, sprinkle the seeds all over, and barely cover them. And they need a lot of light. And the more you cut, the more they keep growing. So cut those and give them to friends, bring them inside. That's why I love them so much because they're super bright and cheerful colors. And there's different sizes and varieties you can get. So they're easy. And I think it's a confidence booster for people to grow zinnias. So I always recommend that one.
When you buy the seed pack of zinnias, I've never seen it by color. Is it always a mixed color?
I usually do a mix, but I get a lot of my seeds through the Gardener's Workshop, and you can buy some of them in single colors. But I typically do a mix. And then, you know, we are still planting zinnias that originated in my grandma's garden. We save them every year because with the book, the kiddos can write to us and we will mail them a package of Lena's zinnia seeds.
Kidding. I will definitely this Earth Day read your book to my class. I
Yes.
need to find it first, get it first. It's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon. It sure is. Yeah. And Then, yeah, I'd be happy to send you some seeds for the kids in your class. So, yeah, I
Yeah.
go to local schools and read the book and we plant seeds. And my daughter is an artist and she illustrated the book, which was another really special part of it. We worked on it together, which was really cool. And we kept it a surprise from my mom. We didn't tell her until it was just about ready to be published because it's about her mom. And so Sydney, my daughter, also has made like a coloring sheet for the kids too. So we have all that, and I'd love to send it to you.
And you still have her original seeds.
Yes, we keep them every year. So it's just a way to keep her garden going. And another thing I love about that, and I need to post this again, I have a Facebook page and an Instagram for Lena's Zinnias. And we, for a while, were keeping track of every state where we had mailed seeds and where her garden is growing. And now we have it. I think some seeds, somebody was sending them to Thailand. Like they're in different places in the world now, which I love, love, love.
I'm the right person for you because I have a sister in Ecuador who actually has
Oh.
a fruit farm and a goat farm, goat cheese. So I will send her some Zinnia seeds. So what would you say is the hardest one? What would be one of the hardest ones where you've struggled and you're trying to decide, should I try again this spring and summer, or should I just
Well,
muscle?
for me, it's not necessarily a flower, but I have had a terrible time growing eucalyptus. And I would love to grow it because my customers love it. We do eucalyptus shower bundles. We have those on the truck a lot and people just go crazy. It's just, I love it for greenery, the smell. And I've tried the last couple of years. I am able to start the seeds and get
Okay.
seedlings going, but it's when I get them in the ground, they just don't do anything. So I don't know what I'm doing wrong with that, but because they should be fine in our hot summers. So that's been a challenge for me.
So I got some from someone in town. I got them under grow lights. They're doing fine. So now at least I know when I put them outside, if they don't go well, that I'm not the only one.
Right. It's not you. Yeah. And they're very slow growing early on. So we'll see. I'm giving it another try this summer and then we'll see. I may just have to punt.
Me your tips if you get it going right. Warn
Okay.
mistakes because I don't know what I'm doing either. So speaking of mistakes, that was my next question. What is your biggest gardening mistake?
I mean, honestly, probably the eucalyptus. I've tried in pots. I tried planting it in the ground. I just have not cracked the code. Yeah, that's probably it so far.
Yeah. And then the other thing I'm always wondering about is ways to save money with the process of starting your garden. You know, you can go to Home Depot and buy all these things from home. So, sort of how I started was always that. And then it just doesn't look good after too long. You know, you spend all this money, all the things you think you're supposed to buy, and then it doesn't take off and it gets very frustrating. So what would you recommend for people trying to save money, not waste the money?
Yeah, there's a couple things. So I had to learn when I had always grown flowers, like I said, but I had a little bit of a learning curve. Learning there are some flowers that are actually considered cool flowers or cold hardy annuals, and they like to be planted earlier in the season, actually even before your last frost. So they get going better at that time. And then there's some warm season annuals that really thrive in the sun and the heat. And if you planted them too soon, you know, same thing. So I think the first thing would be really learn when to plant flowers at the correct time. You need to know what your growing zone is, and you need to know your first and last frost dates. And then from there, you can learn a whole lot. I keep referring to the Gardener's Workshop, but their website is fantastic for teaching that. Lisa has a new book that just came out that is such a great book for all of that. And the thing that's great is when you figure that out, then you've extended your growing season too.
Just thinking, it's not like the stress of what I always thought was after Mother's Day, everything has to go in the ground, you know. Not that way at all. Like you really can ease into it and start something sooner and some inside, but yeah.
Right, exactly. And then I do start everything from seed. I love that process. I don't like winter, so starting seedlings in Jan or sorry, February, March, it just kind of helps me. I like to come down to the basement or my grow lights and see the greenery. And so that can be a more economical way to get going as well. And what I've learned is a lot, there are a lot of flowers, especially a lot of the cool flowers that reseed themselves. So once I planted them, like Feverfew, Nigella, Orlea, some Larkspur, some things like that, if you let them go to seed in your garden, they'll reseed themselves and they actually come back even bigger and better the next year. So you don't even have to do anything unless you want a little bit, bigger patch of that particular flower. The other thing is you can save some seeds. So Nigella are one of my favorite cool flowers. They're absolutely beautiful as a flower. They're mine that I've grown are blue and white, but if you leave them on long enough, they form this really cool pod, and you can dry the pods and use those for arrangements or dried flowers, bouquets or wreaths and things like that. But the seeds are inside the pod. So they're very easy to save the seeds. Same thing with Celosia. It's a favorite of mine in the summer. It's a warm season annual. And I dry a lot of those flowers. And as they're drying, I put them on usually like a cooling rack with another container underneath. The seeds just fall out. And so you can use those seeds then the next year.
And that's a cool season, though, so I should plant that now. I should try
Yeah, I would. You can
that.
direct seed that even. What do you know what zone you're in?
Zone 7.
Okay. Yeah, and when's your first or when's your last frost date?
It's pretty cold. This week's been pretty cold, so.
Okay. Yeah, you could probably still. This is the other thing I tell people, just try. It's not going to hurt to just, that would be my biggest thing to just start. Just give it a whirl. It's not going to hurt anything and see what happens.
So I went to the dollar store and bought all kinds of seed packets because, of course, they're a dollar. So why not just buy everything before it
Right,
sells?
right.
Have you seen or is it are seeds that are expensive versus dollar store seeds? Have you seen a difference? I'm actually having a little trouble with the dollar store seeds. They're zinnias. I don't know if they're too deep, but they're under my grow lights. I'm seeing nothing. I'm like, what's going on? Did you say there's a difference in where you buy your seeds or?
I don't know. I mean, I am in, a couple groups online, and I know people that get the zinnias from the dollar store and have success. I think it probably depends on what your goals are. If you are just wanting a beautiful patch in your yard and you're not necessarily doing a business, it's for you to look at, then I would try it. If you have a flower business and you're a flower farm and you need to rely on the sale of those flowers, you would probably want to go with a company like Florette or the Gardener's Workshop or Johnny Seed. There's tons of them out there that they are that's their seeds made for cut flower growing, which is a little different than just what you would have in your yard. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely, definitely does.
Yeah, because you want longer stems, and it probably has to do with if seeds are too old, if they've been exposed to heat, things like that can make them not as viable the next go around.
Okay. So I just need to plant something else in there and just see what grows. So can you tell me what was your favorite podcast memory? What's something you really learned, like a big learning moment from one of your podcast shows?
Oh gosh. I mean, it's really hard for me to nail down just one because I just love helping people tell their stories, and I love hearing about kind of their journey and their adventure. So really, I feel like I learned something from everyone, but probably I can't think of one episode, but kind of an overarching theme I've learned is most of the people I'm interviewing are flower truck owners or flower farmers, flower educators. They just love flowers, but they're all entrepreneurs at heart. And a theme I've kind of picked up on after talking to all these people really is entrepreneurs are really good at pivoting and shifting when things don't go a certain way, and they just keep going. And so that's one thing I've learned. you know what? If such and such isn't working for you, you can just pivot and try this. And sometimes you have to figure out what your passion is, and maybe you have to let go of this part of your business because this is the direction you really need to be going. So that's probably the biggest thing I've learned. I know that didn't really totally answer your question, but.
That's great. Yeah, just the having that flexibility where you're able to, try different things and see what, takes off, because you never know what your customers are going to want. I've noticed, like, I'll just think I'm doing something cute, like a flower crown, and then all of a sudden the people are like, "Oh, can you come make flower crowns? Can you come here and do this?" And all of a sudden I'm like the flower crown person, and I'm like, I wasn't even planning on, sauce. Put some flowers in my hair with a bobby pin,
And it often surprises you, doesn't it? It's like the things you think no one's really paying attention to, or they're going to think this is silly. That's the thing they're like, oh my gosh, we love this. This is awesome. So, I just think that's probably the biggest thing I've learned is just keep going. Most entrepreneurs are very flexible, have tons of ideas, very creative. I just love hearing their creativity and how they just keep moving.
Do you have a collective or a group of women entrepreneurs where you meet either on Zoom or in person every couple months?
Yeah, so there's a couple things. I am connected with lots of small business owners in the area where I live, and we collaborate a lot for events and things like that. And I love that. And then online, so my very first podcast episode, we flipped the script a little bit, and I had someone interview me and Jill Savage. And she was someone she's a speaker and author that I've always followed, but she also does coaching. And I did a coaching call with her to say, hey, all these ideas, are they crazy? Kind of like you were talking about. I didn't want to talk to anybody, any of my family about it or friends. I mean, I had kind of mentioned it, but I got more in depth with her with my business plans because I wanted an objective opinion. And so that relationship was really good. And then a few years ago, I started a flower truck owners group on Facebook for people who are flower truck owners and people who are just thinking about getting going and in the early stages. So we can connect and share ideas. And now I do some coaching, and I have Flower Truck 101 is my course for people just getting going. And I love it. I really, really love helping other people get going and answering the questions that I had in the beginning that. You know, it just helps people expedite the process so they don't have to dig for all the information. And that group's been really cool too, because it's a lot of really creative people who share ideas, and somebody's usually done whatever it is you're thinking about doing. And you know, we talk about all that kind of stuff and cheer each other on too. So that's been a lot of fun.
I mean, I remember seeing something that I love that you had done at one of your workshops, just now that Easter's coming up this weekend, with the Easter grass, inside sort of the fill, like the cover, because you always need those flowers to sort of fill the bottom of the container, that you're whatever. And you just had Easter grass, and it was so genius. So I was, she knows what she's doing. So it's so nice. I love that you have that Facebook group of support. So can you talk, in case there's anyone listening who wants to start a, buy a flower truck, and then, let me use it whenever I want. Flower Truck 101 class, is it online? Can you sign up any time of the year? Is there a certain start date for the class?
Yeah, so it's online, and it's a combination of videos, photos, downloads, and then we do a Zoom call together. When I first started it, it was only available a couple times a year, and then we would do group Zooms. But I realized that there were people who were ready to start at different times, and I hated for them to have to wait. So I just recently switched it so it's available anytime on demand. And when someone signs up, then we will schedule a one-on-one Zoom. That's part of, they pay for, they get the videos and everything I mentioned, plus a one-on-one coaching call with me. And that's good because everybody's situation is a little different. So, so that's all part of it. So if you go to flowertruck101.com, it's all there. And actually, on April, I can't remember if it's the 3rd or 4th. This is all available on my website, but I'm doing just a short Zoom for people who are curious about the course and, you know, want to meet me and ask some things about it so they can kind of get a little taste of what the course might be about.
We'll definitely put that on the podcast show notes so that
Yeah.
and get a taste for what that would be like.
It's such a niche business that it's just nice to connect with other people who are doing it. And, you know, there's flower truck owners all over the country. So it's been a lot of fun to meet each other online. And, you know, people in, will put in the group when they found their truck and everybody, you know, gushes over their truck. And sometimes they're asking, help me name the truck. And, you know, we just have a lot of fun with stuff like that.
Well, I want to join and I'm going to get that truck. I'm going to that person's house tomorrow.
You should.
So is there anything in the spring or summer, like a big event that's happening that you're excited about?
I'm just excited. You know, it's warming up now where I live. So in mid-April, we will be starting events. On my website, I always post all of the local events we have. So we've already got, we have things lined up. Gosh, a lot of pop-ups, private events, photo shoots through June, into July. We do the farmers market, starts the end of May, and we're there at least a couple times a month. I already have some photo shoots scheduled into the fall. I'm just excited to get Rosalie back out there, and it's just always fun. We have at the farmers market, we have a lot of regular customers that come to see us to get their flowers and see Rosalie, and it's just, I just love that I've gotten to know them and their friends, and you know, they share about their lives and all that. So yeah, so just all of that, really.
I do. I love hearing why people are buying flowers, who they're buying flowers for. You know, my business, I can buy myself flowers, but what I've learned in starting that business, the whole idea of people actually buying flowers for themselves, that still doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Most people that buy flowers for me are not just buying it for themselves. I have a couple of friends that are like, female power, I'm buying it for
Right,
you.
right, right.
Most people are getting it for somebody coming in town or, you know, for a friend's birthday. It's still not many people buying it for themselves.
Right. And I agree. I love that at the truck, people will often share, you know, I'm getting these for my friend who's going through a rough time, or for my friend's birthday, or, you know, my friend was just diagnosed with cancer, and they share all that with me. And it's such a privilege to be a part of that and blessing to know. And that I just feel so good that they want to share that with me. And it's nice to be a part of bringing some joy to people's lives.
Yeah. And if I know in advance, sort of the reason or the person, I'm thinking about that person as I'm doing it. Like, what do I think they'll like? What kind of flowers do I think they'll like? What style do I think they'll like? And if it's for someone going through something, you know, that I know they're having a hard time, like I'll even like pray as I'm doing it. And it feels just nice, you know, peaceful, prayerful.
Yes, I do the same thing and I love that. Yeah.
Missy, thank you so, so much for coming on today. I can't wait for all of my Heffern or Dowling. If you hear that last name, that's my mom's side is Dowling. My dad's side is Heffern. So
okay.
If any Dowlings come to see Rosalie, tell them I say hi.
Yes, we'll get a picture and send it to you. Yeah,
definitely. If I'm out
give
in
them
St.
my
Louis,
info.
I'm going to come find you too.
I would absolutely love that. Love it. Yes, please do.
Okay. Thank you so much, Missy. All right. Have a great afternoon. Thanks
Okay,
again.
you too. Bye-bye.